is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's now in the hands of the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin's highest judiciary will decide the fate of the state's 1849 abortion law. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
A circuit court determined last year that an 1849 law doesn't apply to medically consented abortions in Wisconsin. The high court heard arguments Monday about whether a 1985 state law overrides the older one, allowing abortions before the point at which a fetus could survive outside the womb. Jenny Higgins, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, says returning to the status quo would mean a dire landscape for abortion access.
Even though abortion is technically available at clinics in Wisconsin right now, it's heavily restricted because of insurance and Medicaid prohibitions. People have to pay out of pocket for a service that should be covered by insurance.
Abortion access disproportionately affects those who are already the most marginalized, Higgins says. She notes while people from all walks of life may find themselves needing abortion care, factors like poverty and racism make it much harder for some to achieve reproductive autonomy compared to those with more economic and social resources.
Those effects make it much harder for folks to be able to access contraceptive care, be in relationships that are stable and healthy and communicative, be able to see past the end of the day, right, into one's future, if you are, again, sort of focused mostly on your own economic scarcity or figuring out how to feed your kids or figuring out how not to get evicted.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
It's the Bucks and the Bulls. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Chicago Bulls tonight in Milwaukee. Both teams below 500 and looking for back-to-back wins. College basketball, number 15th ranked Marquette, playing great defense. Knocked off number 6th ranked Purdue last night, 76-58. Cam Jones with a triple-double for the Golden Eagles. Finished with 17 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists. Baseball, Pat Murphy, the first Brewer ever to be named Manager of the Year in the National League. Murphy turns 66 later this month. NFL, the Packers host the 49ers Sunday. I asked Green Bay defensive end Rashawn Gary why the team doesn't have more quarterback sacks.
I don't know. You got to tell me if you're watching. We're just rushing, doing what we got to do. The numbers going to come. Numbers, people get, misconstrued. Cut on the tape. See how we playing. See how we setting the edges. See how we putting pressure on quarterbacks, man. The numbers going to come if we keep playing our fashion of ball. It really don't matter, man. I love me against anyone.
That's the Packers' Rashawn Gary. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Matt Nair on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have, you plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
News, talk, community, and local sports. Thanks for listening to Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I just thought I'd let Marvin Gaye marinate a little bit this morning, and the lyrics of that song will you know, they're apropos. Here we are 50 years later, and the lyrics of that song tell the tale of the woes of our nation. And so, hey, Calvin, it's good to see you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm always doing great, man. You know, when you know, the battle-tested group of people that we have every Wednesday are gathered. So, you know, the campaign for lead-free water takes another kick at the cat, and I want to begin by introducing my good friend, Robert Miranda of Flack. Good morning to you, Robert. How you doing, sir? Robert? Okay. While we're working on Robert, we are joined by Paul Swartz. He's a co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and also Dr. Lambrinetti Du, who is also the co-founder of Lead Free Water. Good morning to you guys. How are you?
Good morning, good. Earl. So good to be here.
You know, yeah. I am so thrilled if I tell you guys how many times I hear people talk about what we are doing here and this opportunity that we are given by Civic Media. And I'm so thankful to Civic Media for giving us this opportunity to pursue something that is as critically important as this. And so here we are. I don't know, Calvin, I don't know. This might be about the fifth or sixth or seventh time that we've had a chance to gather together, but each time I'm more and more thrilled. So let's begin with whether or not people get a letter telling them that they have a lead-free service line, they are at risk of lead-free exposure from lead-bearing premises, lead-bearing premise plumbing is present in almost all U.S. buildings. Let me do it again. Whether or not people get a letter telling them that they have a lead service line. They are at risk of lead in water exposures from lead-bearing premise plumbing. Lead-bearing premise plumbing is present in almost all U.S. buildings. Paul, you want to take that?
Sure, absolutely, Earl. And before I go into that, I just want to say how important this conversation is, because the official narratives are suppressing this information and not making it available, and that violates basic public health ethics and in misinforming people about what's going on. It's a creation of ignorance in our communities.
And I do have to tell you, I got a letter in the mail yesterday telling me whether or not my home had lead pipes running to it. First time. So there's some impact. There's some things going on that weren't going on before, because this is the first time I got a letter from the city of Milwaukee letting me know.
Well, the positive thing, I'll just do a shout out, is that the EPA regulations are requiring water utilities to inform people that they're doing an inventory of the materials for the pipe that comes from the middle of your street to your home. And part of that is making sure that they let people know that they're doing that investigation. And that is a step forward. What they're not doing is telling people that even if you don't know what that material is of the pipe, that pipe, or even if you know that it's not lead or what's called galvanized pipe requiring replacement, that the lead that's in the faucets, in the fixtures, and in the what's called the solder and the flux that put together the pipes, join them together, that can release chronic low levels of lead, and also periodically and erratically very high or acute levels of lead into your through your tap, into the food that you're eating and the water that you're drinking or mixing with formula. And so that's part of the official narrative that is not really coming out regularly and often critically for people to know. That's really, really important so that people don't get put to sleep or have false reassurance that just because they don't have a lead line doesn't mean they're not getting really damaging lead exposure at the tap.
You know, Dr.
Earl,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Doctor.
Yes, Earl, I think it's just so important that you are highlighting that the letter that you received about having a lead lateral, lead service line is really the first time where you've received such communication. And that's very important that you highlighted it. This is the first time we're in the year 2024. And in the United States, people have known about the hazards of these lead pipes, which are made of 100% pure lead, for 50, 80, 100 years. So why is it that you're hearing about this problem just now? And why that is a long and troubling history of a water utility industry and a captured environmental protection agency that have worked really hand in hand in many ways to minimize the communication that is delivered to people, to minimize people's concerns by not necessarily addressing the problem fully, but withholding information so that folks are not aware of the problem and therefore not worried about the problem. The letter that you have just received is really, I think, arguably the direct result of dogged and unrelenting work by activists on the ground and also by very few truth-telling scientists within EPA who have, some of them, sacrificed their careers or put their careers at risk to push for full disclosure about what the problem is and to push for a regulation that finally requires water utilities to replace these toxic lead service lines.
So if you're just joining us, every Wednesday at this time, we're joined by Dr. Lembrini Du and Paul Swartz and my good friend Robert Miranda, co-founders Paul and Dr. Lembrini Du, co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And we are addressing what is a crisis in our nation and has been for a long time, and that's people being exposed to lead in the drinking water. There's a question that's posed on the text by Tony. Are you worried the EPA may stop enforcing these regulations in the future? We talked about that before we came on the air. Paul, you want to respond to that?
Sure. I mean, EPA has done, first, the rules for lead and water are very weak and don't lend to easy enforcement, because you can have amazing amounts of lead coming through the tap and still not exceed what's called the treatment technique of the lead and copper rule and not be in violation of the Safe Drinking Water Act. And so there's have been a history of 30 years of very weak enforcement, but that weak enforcement could get even weaker if the indications by the Trump administration hold true in terms of who they put in at the political leadership of EPA, the guy they're nominating, Congressman Selden from New York, has no experience on basic drinking water or air or water issues. And there's every indication, although we're going to have to wait and see, that they have an anti-regulatory agenda and that they're going to listen to the regulated industry more than people. That being said, under the Biden administration and previous Democratic when the Democratic Party had control of the White House, there also wasn't good enforcement. So we're going to have to wait and see. We want to tell the truth. We're not wedded to the Democratic Party. And what we need is public health and following peer-reviewed science to be at the center of policy formulation, implementation, of getting the lead lines out, and enforcement, all of those things. So great question. We need to talk more about that. Thank you.
Our phone lines are open, as always, at 855-752-4842. You know, it is pretty telling that this has gone on as long as it has and the impact that this has had on children. We've been talking for a long time about the fact that children are having a difficult time concentrating. Children are having a difficult time learning. And we've been trying to attribute it to all sorts of other things in this society. Never once have I heard it. Well, paint, chips, and those kind of things. But prior to you guys, I had never once heard anybody say or talk about the fact that the water and the lead in the water could be at the heart of some of those things. And so what we want to do is the Environmental Protection Agency requiring lead pipe removal nationwide to be replaced in 10 years. Nationwide, the EPA now is saying they want to have these pipes removed. We're going to talk about that. 9.2 million throughout the nation. Join us. Campaign for Lead-Free Water, up next on The Earl Ingram Show.
Thanks for listening. Your spot for local sports coverage is Civic Media.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The John and Gordy Show.
The clipping sound you heard was all of global allies cutting their cables that connect to the American intelligence network.
For the Republican Party to submit themselves to Vlad Putin is just... You must be able to see Ronald Reagan's corpse underneath his grave because it's just turned to clear glass because he's been spinning so fast and melted it.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
Problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. She said it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, I hope my meaning won't be lost or misconstrued. But I'll repeat myself. At the risk of being crude, there must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover.
Just all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I want to say before I introduce my guest, the election's over. And so, you know, there's so much more going on that we need to focus on and be concerned about. And this is one that all of us should be concerned about. That there's no excuse whatsoever that the wealthiest nation on earth continues to have this kind of a problem and that the citizens of our nation are not even aware of it. And thanks be to, you know, Paul Swartz and Dr. Lambrini Du and Robert Miranda and others, you know, campaign for lead-free water that they're taking on this fight. And so let me ask you, Doctor, if we can talk about the big cities and the urban centers. And so, you know, that's where we've got the most concentrated people. And so this subject matter can marinate more in big cities, more romanticized. But what about the rural, the rural areas and people who don't have access to the kind of information that can be disseminated, you know, inside of the cities. What would you say to them and many of them who are listening now?
Yeah, unfortunately, lead in drinking water is a nationwide problem, and it affects small communities and rural areas as much as it affects big cities. This is not necessarily a message that has reached people adequately. And additionally, rural communities and communities that are served by small water utilities have been shown, and studies have shown, that the water utilities in those areas tend to be implementing regulatory standards in a more lax way than many of the larger water utilities in big cities. So rural areas are actually arguably even more vulnerable to the problem of lead in drinking water, and of course to the problem of other drinking water contaminants, precisely because research has shown that water utilities serving them are not doing a very good job overall in implementing regulatory requirements. So that's a problem people do need to know in the entire country, and certainly in rural areas, but all over, that lead-bearing plumbing materials are pretty much in every building right now in the United States. There's very few exceptions to that. So whether people have a lead service line or not, or whether their testing shows lead or not, if people want to be protected from lead in water, it is really wise to begin using lead-certified point-of-use filters. These filters have been shown to effectively remove lead from drinking water almost completely. And so whether one has a lead service line, or whether their water utility implements regulations properly, or whether there is a delay in replacing lines, or whether there's a lead in water crisis, once people install filters and use filters routinely when they draw tap water for cooking or drinking, they have that layer of protection so that they're far less vulnerable to what is going on in their communities. And that certainly applies to urban areas.
So, Paul, Tony wants to know, what about people with wells? Are the pipes used for that lead?
Thank you, Tony, for that question. There are two ways to get exposure from wells. One is that the wellheads often have leaded materials in them, and that can be a source of lead. And as my colleague Yana Lambrini-Du said, there, when the water comes in contact with the lead in the interior plumbing, or the technical term is the premise plumbing in your home, both dissolved or soluble lead, like sugar in tea or coffee, and chunks of lead or particulate lead or lead particles can fall off fairly randomly into the water. The great thing is we have a solution, and that solution is, if you want to break up with lead at the tap exposure, do what Yana said and get a filter that has NSF standard 53 with a claim of lead reduction, and NSF standard 42 on the box. And that can be a countertop model, or it can be a pitcher model, or you can have it right on the faucet, which is probably the best.
You know, if you guys are just joining us, once again, I'm joined by co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Paul Schwartz, and his co-founder, Yana Lambrini-Du. And so we are constantly talking about what I think is just I can't even say it's unfortunate, because they've known about this for a long time, and yet so many people are at risk. When we return, we're going to talk about a couple more things, and one of those things is especially important for all of you. You need to proceed, you know, with caution. Don't just think that maybe it's not me, it's not happening in my home. You have to look at it from the perspective of, I have lead in my drinking water, and I've got to do something to eradicate it on the Earl Ingram Show.
Looking for the game? Find us over the air for sports coverage on Civic Media stations.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's now in the hands of the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin's highest judiciary will decide the fate of the state's 1849 abortion law. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
A circuit court determined last year that an 1849 law doesn't apply to medically consented abortions in Wisconsin. The high court heard arguments Monday about whether a 1985 state law overrides the older one, allowing abortions before the point at which a fetus could survive outside the womb. Jenny Higgins, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, says returning to the status quo would mean a dire landscape for abortion access.
Even though abortion is technically available at clinics in Wisconsin right now, it's heavily restricted because of insurance and Medicaid prohibitions. People have to pay out of pocket for a service that should be covered by insurance.
Abortion access disproportionately affects those who are already the most marginalized, Higgins says. She notes while people from all walks of life may find themselves needing abortion care, factors like poverty and racism make it much harder for some to achieve reproductive autonomy compared to those with more economic and social resources.
Those effects make it much harder for folks to be able to access contraceptive care, be in relationships that are stable and healthy and communicative, be able to see past the end of the day, right, into one's future, if you are, again, sort of focused mostly on your own economic scarcity or figuring out how to feed your kids or figuring out how not to get evicted.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Have you ever been in a relationship that's been so bad it's made you want to jump to your death? If so, you have something in common with Cher. The iconic performer and former wife of Sonny Bono says that she was so miserable and lonely in her loveless marriage, she considered jumping off a Vegas hotel balcony multiple times. Let me rephrase. On multiple occasions. That's the kind of thing that would be tough to do more than once. The singer says instead of taking her own life, she ultimately decided to leave her marriage. Much better option, Cher. Speaking of falling, comedian and former Tonight Show host Jay Leno says he fell 60 feet down a rocky hill outside Pittsburgh before one of his shows. According to E! News, Leno suffered bruises on his face, a swollen eye, and a broken wrist. What does a 74-year-old man do after such an accident? Check himself out in a restaurant bathroom and then make his live performance on time. Now that's a pro. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I am joined by the co-founders of the Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Paul Swartz and Dr. Yana Braniti-Dew. And so I want to, you know, Tony asked another question, guys, before we move forward. He asked if a Culligan... where is it at? If a Culligan system will do and things like that.
Well, I'll make a short response and then ask Yana to add on. Just you can't go by the brand. Brands have different types of filters with different certifications for what they'll remove. What you really need to do is to look for the dual certification. And just to repeat that one more time ad nauseum, what you're looking for is a pitcher style, faucet mounted style, or countertop style that have the certifications NSF standard 53, along with a claim of lead reduction, and NSF/ANSI or ANSI, standard 42. And if those certifications are in the materials for the Culligan pitcher, Culligan filter that you're talking about, Tony, then that's likely to do the job.
You know, Dr. Yana, is it safe to say, so younger children, newborn children, I don't know if they're tested for lead. If that's something that's done automatically, or if early on in their development and growth and times with their pediatricians, if at any point in time they are tested for lead, or should you suggest those things? Is that an automatic thing that's done now? And are young children more susceptible and elderly people than, you know, the middle-aged people to being impacted by lead?
Right. Well, lead is toxic. It's the best known neurotoxicant that has been studied and is in our environment, and it is harmful to people of all ages. But the populations that are the most vulnerable to lead in drinking water are developing fetuses, infants, especially those who are dependent on reconstituted formula, and of course, young children. The guidelines that have been developed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and are generally adopted by states across the country focus children's testing at around the age of 1 year old, and then again at the age of 2 years old. And why that is because our national approach to childhood lead poisoning prevention focuses almost exclusively on exposures to lead-based paint, soil, and dust, and therefore focuses almost exclusively on the age where a young human being tends to have a lot of hand-to-mouth activity, right? So touches lead paint chips or is crawling on the floor and then puts hand in mouth and is exposed to lead dust or lead paint. Unfortunately, this testing set of testing recommendations
almost ignores lead from drinking water and therefore ignores both pregnant people who might be mostly drinking lead-tainted water and therefore exposing their developing fetus, but also leaves out, the guidelines leave out infants under the age of 12 months. We certainly recommend and encourage people to, to test, especially when people are pregnant or when infants are younger than 12 months old, and certainly when they are dependent on reconstituted formula. But one thing that's really important to know, and this reinforces why prevention and why filtration is so critically important, is that testing of lead in blood can miss lead in water exposures. And that is because the half-life of lead in blood is about 30 days, about 1 month. So if an infant is exposed to even very high levels of lead in water, and this infant gets their blood test 2 or 3 months or 4 after the exposure, it is possible for that test, and actually likely, not to capture the exposure or not to capture its severity, and to communicate a false sense of assurance to the parents.
Let's go to Whistler from Richland Center. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for the call. You say what? Hello, are you there? All right, so let me ask you guys while we... So I've heard people say, if you just keep running your faucet, eventually the lead will work its way through the faucet. I've heard people say if you boil the water. These kind of sound like folklore, but let us know if these things that some people might buy into, if these things help. Paul?
Those are two common suggestions on how to reduce or prevent lead exposure at the tap. And they're really important for people to understand. In short order, if you, we have learned that to deal with dirty water, what you do is boil the water. And that certainly works for pathogens and viruses and bacteria to inactivate those. But for when you have a metal in water, if you're talking about a half gallon of water or a cup of water that you're using with your mac and cheese, and you cook or boil it and reduce the water by half, effectively you've concentrated the metal, you've doubled it, right? And so you can't boil away heavy metals from the water, but it's understandable that people have that impression. In terms of running the water, running the water can temporarily get rid of some of the lead, but it also can draw lead. If you have a lead lateral or lead pipe, you can draw more lead into your tap. And you also can take particles of lead or chunks of lead that are stored at the aerator, that little end of the faucet screen. And if you have enough force, you can plop one of those out into your water. And so the key thing is to understand that even if it works temporarily in an hour or in a few hours, or just because some chunk of lead drops off randomly, it doesn't assure that you're not going to have lead in the water that you're using for cooking or drinking.
All right, let's go to Whistler from Richland Center. Good morning. Are you there? Kevin, I don't know. I guess we're having trouble. But I will say to you guys, if you're just joining us once again, on the line, Paul Swartz and Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du, and they are with Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and they're on with us every Wednesday. Calvin, are they ready? You want to put them on? All right. Hello? Yes.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I used to work for a nonprofit out of Madison called Rural Housing, and we put together pamphlets for the DNR to be sent out to all the school districts regarding lead in water in the drinking fountains.
Yes, sir.
And later on, some of the schools actually replaced their water, their bubblers, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
But I listen to your show a lot, Earl, and I appreciate you taking my call. I also work for a nonprofit that got involved in lead abatement in housing. So, you know, lead has always been a problem for young people. And for people that are looking to buy older homes, make sure they have the woodwork tested for lead inside. That's what I have to say, my input.
Well, that's a lot, and thank you very much for the call. You know, Paul, I'm seeing you shaking your head in the affirmative.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really important. Lead can be in paint, can be in soil, can be in dust. It can come in ceramics. It can come in spices. There's lots of routes for lead exposure to happen. And you can also have synergistic effects, and additive effects from all of these different routes of lead exposure. One of the reasons why we're focused on lead and water is that there's been, as your caller said, so much more information that has gone out about the paint, soil, and dust exposures. And we've had effective bans on lead in paint and lead in gasoline. And in the lead and water space, we had a ban on lead pipes in 1986, but lead continues to be used in interior or premise plumbing. And there's historic levels of lead that are left over from the lead pipes that are in the ground and from the lead solder and flux that join pipes together, or even lead in brass that's in the faucets that we use. So it's really important for when we look at the whole house environment or building environment to look at all of those sources. And unfortunately, often when home inspections are done for lead exposure, they'll stop looking if they find that there's something with lead in paint or soil or dust, and won't look at the water piece. And that's a real problem, because a lot of the health departments are not trained and have heard the bad narratives and the bad advice from EPA and CDC and from the water authorities. And so don't think of lead water as an exposure route or a primary or sole source exposure route for some buildings. And as much as lead, paint, soil, and dust are really, really critical to take a look at, they're in far less buildings than lead and water are.
You know, Tony has just been just really helping us out with some great, great questions. Does the rest of the world, and this is for you, Dr. Yana, does the rest of the world use this much lead? Does China or Europe, European countries have this issue too? We're going to discuss that and more on the Earl Ingram Show.
Listen to sports coverage from Mike Clemens on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin. Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win, just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly obvious he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
I went out to the car and I had to scrape ice off my window.
You're kidding.
Do you have a good ice scraper at least?
I have an excellent ice scraper and thank God it was in the car yet.
I had to use like my credit card to scrape my windshield.
Oh no.
You know what works great is a cassette.
You actually used a cassette to get the ice off your windows?
Yeah.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Covering the games and biggest sports news, listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
All right, welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, on Wednesdays, I'm joined by by Paul Schwartz and Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du of Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And so before we go to the phone lines, Tony, once again, this is for you, Doctor. Does the rest of the world use this much lead? Does China or European countries have this issue as well?
Yes, it's such a good question. Lead in drinking water is an issue worldwide. The World Health Organization, back in the early 1990s, issued guidelines for addressing lead in drinking water. The European Union has guidelines. Lead in drinking water has certainly been detected in China, West Africa, and other places. Exactly what the amounts are, what the concentrations tend to be, and how they compare to the United States, I'm not sure. But certainly this is an international problem, not just a U.S.-based problem.
All right, let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. Al, are you there?
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You remember back in the 70s when we had all that flooding in the creeks, they told us to boil the water.
Yes.
But no, there was no mention of lead being removed from the water. I have put a Culligan water system in my home, And I heard a little bit of the explanation the doctor gave earlier about those things need additional filters in order to get the lead out. Is that correct?
You want to respond to that, Paul?
Yeah, thanks for that question. And I think the clarification is really important. So no matter what the brand name is, whether it's Culligan or some other brand name, not all of the filters in one brand have the built-in properties, I guess, to reduce or eliminate lead exposures at the tap. And so what you're looking for, and you can go and look at the model online that you have, and sometimes it's hard to find on the website, frankly, is often it's on the box when you go to the box store or your local retailer to buy it, is you're looking for filters that should have the two certifications, NSF standard 53, along with a claim of lead reduction, and NSF ANSI or ANSI standard 42. These are the two dual certifications that will allow you to have some certainty that you're getting rid of dissolved or soluble lead, which is one type of lead, like sugar in or tea or coffee dissolving, and lead particles or chunks of lead from the water that comes through your tap.
Dr. Lembrini, you do two things. One of them is, so I remember many years ago in the city of Milwaukee, the city was giving away filters that you could put on the faucet, in your sink. Are those still, acceptable filters? Do they do the job?
Yeah, these are excellent filters to have if they have that dual certification that Paul was talking about, the NSF 42 and NSF 53 certification. So if they are certified to remove lead, these faucet mount filters are excellent for protection.
And then the other thing that I want is I want the listening audience to know and to be prepared as we prepare to do something even bigger and bolder and broader on this subject here at Civic Media. You were telling me earlier all the different entities nationally that are beginning to listen to what it is we're attempting to do. Would you please repeat those things?
I think that there is generally an understanding by the scientific community, by certainly by communities on the ground, and by even members of the media, that this is an immensely important, serious, and complicated problem with lots of dimensions: scientific, ethical, political, public health, all sorts of dimensions. And so your focus on this issue, Earl, is having many people excited and tuning in and listening now. First time that anybody's looking at this with such depth and seriousness. And thank you.
I thank you guys from the depths of my heart. And we're going to be moving into broader and bigger and better audiences and more information. Thank you. And we'll see you guys in a week.
Thanks, Calvin.
All right. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and more on The Earl Ingram Show.
Airing a game right now, but stay here on the stream for more Civic Media news, talk, and more.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand?
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.